Okay, we are holding on Samach Zion on the days at the Halacha, Halacha Vav. Bottom of the page. If they were sitting, means that they were not doing Heseba. All they were doing was sitting. Then everybody makes their own bracha. You can't be mitzi anybody else because you're lacking a kviyas. A sebo, if they sat down in the leading position, then already that's a kviyas after the bracha. One person can be brought for everybody. If there was wine that came in the middle of the meal, good vach, everybody that's joined. We're on Samach Chesom and Aleph at the top of the page. So if they have wine that came in the middle of the meal, even though there was a seba, everybody has to make bracha for themselves. The Gemara is going to say because you can't say amen because you'll choke. So therefore, we prefer for you to make the bracha yourself when you're available. After the meal is over, before benching, one can be bracha for everybody. Because it's a saber, you don't have the concern of choking because everybody finished eating. And so one person can make the bracha. Then the last halacha is, this means that the person that made hamotzi is the person that is the honors of making the bracha on the mugmar. Mugmar is a type of a fragrance. They would light some fragrance and the fire, the mugmar is going to say the fire lights, and then there's like a stream of smoke that comes out of the fragrance. And at that moment, right, when the fragrance comes out, you make a bracha. We're going to see what the bracha is. Let's say it's atzei b'som, whatever the bracha is going to be. We're going to talk about it. The point of the Mishnah is that the person that made hamotzi is given the honor of making this bracha for everybody else. Afalpi she'im aviyam nesemugmar lach asudah. So the Mishnah, the afalpi must be, even though what? Even though it's coming after the suda, so you might think, the hamotzi is long behind us, so perhaps, it would be no connection, so to speak. It doesn't matter. Since he started the suda, he gets the honors. Okay, Zok de Gemar, Rabbi Shuvah Levi Amar, B'Shavuah Ben Himasisa. We're talking about a case, the reason why the Mishnah requires Haseba and Yeshiva is not good enough is because we're talking about a case where like Shavuah Ben, which is like opinion Ben on Bris Milah. Obviously, when you're going to have a meal such as this, you're going to have all kinds of people coming in. They aren't connected. They're guests. So what will make them connected if there's a hesed? But habal habayis, right? If it would be a case where, I'm just coming home to my own household, the tov beso, so I don't need to have a hesed. Everybody is, by virtue of the fact that they're part of my family, that's enough to create a kvius, and I can invite to them even if they're not doing Haseba. Okay, does that make sense? Just to take a look at the Mara folder real quick. B'shuah haben, b'vris mila, of a b'ba ba'ya, sh'kob me'beso, n'gror n'acharov, in'tzrich and Haseba. Sh'kul an'tzayn k'nolov. Okay, that's the trap. Now, that's Rabbi Yeshua Malevi's opinion. Rabbi Chia disagrees. Tell me Rabbi Chia, disagrees. He doesn't agree with that. He says, even a Baal Bayis in his house, you need the mice of Hesebo to create a kvius. He disagrees with Rabbi Shavali. Okay, Tony, now we're going to talk about what usually took effect when Archim came to the house. So Seder Suda, this is the order in which a Suda, what usually would happen. So there'll be an outer room. Let's imagine, like in hotels, you have an outer room, they keep the doors of the dining room closed, and you all gather in the outer room. So this is like Mamish, that case. All the Archim are coming in, and they're gathering around, and they're sitting on Safsolim, Akatandrias. What's the translation of those two things? Those are on benches and chairs, right? Benches and chairs. I should call Wisconsin until everybody comes. If they bring wine, since there's no kvias, because we're kind of like just coming in haphazardly from the street, we don't have a kvias yet. We're waiting to go someplace else to eat the meal. So therefore, everybody makes a bracha for themselves. Hevi Elohem Liyadayim. Now this actually belongs before this wine thing, because the way they learn it is they're going to wash their hand. They're going to wash their hand, one hand. They're washing their hand to hold the cup of wine. The problem was if you touched the wine, the liquid with your hand, when your hand was tame, it would be tame the yain. So they had to wash their hands. Also could be, it's not like a shrine exactly what the reason is. Could be also it was just for nikios, just for cleanliness. It was no halachic imperative to wash. This was like a mice of nikios. Machlokes Rishonim had to learn. That's what they did. And then obviously when they made the bracha on the wine, it was everybody made the bracha for themselves. So people have parparis, and if they brought them the dessert, now we're on some chesam base. I mean, it's not dessert. It's I should call it better. You know, the four spiced. What do we call it? How are we going to translate parparis?
Appetizer.
The appetizer. Good. Yeah. So appetizer, everybody makes a bracha for themselves again, because we are still in the outer room. Alu, now all the guests have come, they've opened up the doors to the dining room. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Alu vehesebu. Now we go into the main room and we all lie down on our individual assigned couches. Now, when they bring them wine, so now it's very interesting. You made a bright pyan goffin in the outer room. You did not make a bracha achorna. You just made a bracha rishona, a bright pyan goffin in the outer room. Now they're bringing you wine on the inner room. So, afal pisha, birachal harishon, even though they made a bracha already, bright pyan goffin on the first cup of wine that they brought him, sarkal varachal hasheni. You have to make a bracha on the second wine. Chaim Knievsky in his parish says, because shinoi mokum. That's what he writes. So, this again proves what we talked about last week about changing rooms in a chasna situation from a shmorik to another room. Here it's mamish of a feirush Yerushalmi. If you made a goffin in one room and you go to another room, you have to make another bright pyan goffin. That's one way to learn it. Another way to learn it a little bit more lumdish would be if, because it's not so clear in halacha that this is correct, what Rebbe Chaim is saying. I mean, it's a pshat, you could say in the Yerushalmi for sure, but that the nature of the bright pyan goffin changes. The bright pyan goffin that you made on the outside room was a kind of like, it was, how should I say, it was a snacking bright pyan goffin, as opposed to the bright pyan goffin you're going to make in the inner room, which is going to be more of a kfios type of a bright pyan goffin. So the nature of the bright pyan goffin changes. That requires you on and of itself. If you look in the footnotes, you'll see they try to explain this. So bottom line is you have to make another bracha. Now, of course, because we're all beheseba and we haven't started the meal yet, so no one's eating, there's no danger of choking. So one person can make a bracha for everybody. Now we're going to start the meal. Now, obviously, they're going to bring in the water for Netilas Yadayim. If you'll have Yadayim, now, of course, even though you washed one hand before, but since that was for Nikias Ba'alma, that was not a halachic imperative. And even like the other pshat, it's going to work out, because that was just for, you know, for a Milo Ba'alma of Tumo. It was not the takona of the Netilas Yadayim for Lechem. So a Netila, which is not for the takona, is not going to work for you for the bread, which is a takona. So Charlie Toshay Yorv, you have to wash both hands now. Even the hand that you had already washed earlier. Hivilahem Paparis. Now they're going to bring in this appetizer. Again, one person can make a bracha for everybody. Now, apparently there was some kind of minhag that they brought them three appetizers. And the purpose of three appetizers, I guess, was to kind of delay the main meal, to wait for the guests that were carrying and were a little bit late, right? So that they bring down that they had a minhag in Yerushalayim. They used to hang a cloth on the doorway. Okay, let me see where we could see this. Let me see. What does it say about the cloth? It should say it. Yeah, let's take a look at the Charedim. Oh, he doesn't say it. There's a thing here about a cloth. Somebody says it.
Footnote 7.
Footnote 7?
Second paragraph.
Oh, you know what? I'm on the wrong page. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. The Tosefta adds that the custom in Jerusalem was to spread a cloth over the doorway at mealtimes. This was a sign to the guests that the third appetizer was still not served. They could still come in. But once they served that third appetizer, they took that cloth away and the guests were no longer welcome. That's what this Bryce is trying to say. After that, you can't go in. Why can't you go in? Because it's an embarrassment. You're embarrassing the host because he's not going to have enough food for you. He's not going to have certain types of food they want to serve the guests. So therefore, you can't go in after that. Okay? Come on, Tanino. Now we're going to kind of like insert a similar, but not exactly. It's a little bit of a tangent, but it's going to be important to pay attention to whether this is really a tangent, whether it fits in with the flow of the Gemara. So Taman Tanina, Sukkah Shiva Ketzah, how is it possible? What's the case of where you have a Sukkah and it's the 7 days? So the seventh day comes and it's the end of Sukkah. So you're about to enter in Shmini Atzeres. I was talking Eretz Yisrael, right? Gomer Milechol, so it's the end of the seventh day of Sukkah. Well, Yatra Sukkah, you don't take part of the Sukkah. I have a Morid who is a Caleb. Which will cover Yom Tov Akron. So what you're doing is you're taking out the kalim from the sukkah and taking them into your house because of covered Yom Tov Akron. And now, if you have a person who's sukkah areva olam, and he's going to be eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres also, but you want to be careful that it should not be boltaisif. So now, this is what we're going to talk about now. If you're going to be eating in the sukkah, you have to pasul the sukkah erev Yom Tov, because obviously you're not going to be pasuling the sukkah on Yom Tov. It's stiras oihel, right? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, tzarach lekadesh v'tok beisa. Yeshua ben Levi has another eitzah. You don't have to necessarily pasul the sukkah. What you could do, he has a smaller eitzah. You know what you could do? Make kiddush inside your house. That way, when you're saying on Shmini Atzeres kiddush, it's obvious you're not being mekayim in the midst of sukkah, because if you were mekayim in the midst of sukkah, you would have made kiddush in the sukkah. So make kiddush in the house. And then after you finish kiddush, you go out to the sukkah and you'll eat the sukkah, you'll eat your meal, Shmini Atzeres meal in the sukkah. That's what he says. Okay, so then you have a machlokas here. So Rav Rashi b'shem Rav, so we call this Rav's shita. Rav says you have to pass the sukkah. He obviously, for some reason, does not accept this eitzah from Rabbi Yeshua Malevi. And Rabbi Yeshua Malevi says, no, you don't have to disqualify it. You can just make for kiddush in the house. Now, Rabbi Shmuel says you need kiddush from Makom Suda. So if you make kiddush in one house and you change your mind and you decided you want to eat someplace else, you have to make another kiddush because that's felt. It's felt in the kiddush from Makom Suda. Okay. Yeah. So the question, of course, is all right. One more time. So Rabbi Rabbeinu B'Shem Harishya, Mishus Kasu Yareva Lav Mekadosh Leila Yotav Harishin, Let Yotav Akron B'Tok Beisai V'Olav Eichel B'Tok Sukkos. So he's going to go ahead on the night of Shmini Atzeres. Again, he's saying the same Eitzah as Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi said before, that you can make Kiddush in your house and then go out and eat in your Sukkah. Now that seems to be not like Shmuel, because according to Shmuel, you have to make Kiddush again in the new location. So is there a machlokas here between Shmuel and these other shitas? Are they arguing? So the Gemara says, they're not arguing. Now we're on some of Testament Oath. Mar de Mar Rav. This that Rav said, or it should be Rav Aishia. This is Rav Aishia said that you could take Kiddush in your house and eat the meal in the sukkah. That's what you had intention. That's what you had in mind. When you made the kiddush, you had a mind to eat outside. Well, mind the Shmuel, and what Shmuel says that if it was he made kiddush in his house, the nimlach, that's his lash, nimlach, he changed his mind. He's going to eat someplace else. So that's talking about Shmuel. So that's why you had to make a kiddush a second time. So that's basically what he says. That's the nafka mina. Okay, so according to this mahalach, who is this that's saying that there's no machlokas? It's Rav Ovin. Rav Ovin is saying they're not arguing. One is talking about we had it in mind. One is talking about we don't have a mind. In halacha, if you take a look, you'll see that there are a lot of people that speak out nafkaminas. A lot of people say there's a big nafkamina, whether, you know, when you're eating in one room, and you have a mind to eat the other room, whether it makes a difference. This is going to be a little bit schwer what we started on before, when we started in the previous case, when we talked about the guests. They're all gathered in the outer room. They made bread priyat gofen. They knew they were going to eat in the inner room, but yet we still required them to make a new bread priyat gofen. This is where Reb Chaim's pshat is. You have to figure it out halachically, because Reb Chaim said that the pshat, Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his parish, said that the pshat was when you make a bread priyat gofen in the outer room, you have to make another priyat gofen in the inner room because it's shinui makom. But over there, you had it in mind. So why should it be different? Why should Kiddush, Makom Suda, take on a different halach? It's going to be very shver. You have to work all these details out. So we have another approach here where he learns that it actually is a machlokas. That Rapiya, who was Rapiya? Rapiya Barashi said that you have to go ahead and you have to pasul your sukkah. That's what we said before. If you're planning on eating your Shmini Atzeres on your sukkah, on Erev Sukkahs, you have to disqualify the sukkah and pasul it. So Shmuel is going to come out like that, Shita, because it's impossible to go like Reb Shua B'Levi. And the Rav Hashia, who holds that you can just say Kiddush in your house, that's Reb Shua B'Levi, who said you don't have to disqualify your sukkah. All you have to do is make Kiddush in the house. Obviously, they're the same. So what we're saying here is that it's not he doesn't accept this previous distinction between having in mind and not having in mind. Actually, if you look at halacha, you'll see there's a yesh omrim that says it doesn't make a difference whether you have in mind or don't have in mind. And when you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see it almost mimics this Yerushalmi. Okay, Amar Abami, so Meras Shenek Lachim B'Peiros. So here there's a big machlag is how to learn what the Yerushalmi means. We're only going to learn one way tonight. This says, let's see. Question exactly what Zosa Meris is going back on. Is it going back on the previous conversation we just had, or is it going all the way back to that first part with the guests? So we're going to learn that it's going all the way back to the guest part of it. Well, let's see what he says over here. 7, we see. Our Mishnah says, let me read it inside here because I don't have a head for it right now. Our Mishnah teaches that when people sit, that they have to make their motzi themselves, but when they recline, then one makes a motzi for everybody. Now, in the Bavli, it doesn't machlokas. I don't know why in the 7 he feels it's absolutely necessary that we know the Bavli, but we're going to have to go over it. So in Bavli 43a, it says a machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says that it's talking about only bread. Generally, they recline for bread. So if you're eating without bread, then they're viewed as a temporary, it's a chilas. Ari, and you can't be moitzi. That's why they have to make their own moitzi blessing without the haseba. But when it comes to other foods, such as wine or fruit, then reclining is not as common. Since reclining is not as common, you don't have to have the haseba to create a kvius. And therefore, even if a group drinks wine while sitting, they can be considered, one can make the brach for the rest. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says, no, there's no difference between bread and other foods. Okay, so let's just take that as one of the, you know, the givens that you have to know before you begin reading the next part of this note. Machlokes is Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. According to Rav, it's only lechem that requires a seba. According to Rabbi Yochanan, all fruits require a seba. Now, Rabbi Ami says the following. The Braisa supports the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because it says when the guests were served wine while they were seated in the outside room, then each one had to say bar priyat gofen themselves. So you see that reclining is a free condition to be mighty, even though it's only a bracha bar priyat gofen. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that there's no difference between wine, between bread and wine. So that's going to be like a support to Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Mashenken, according to Rav, it's going to be shver, right? It's going to be shver. Rav, why? If you don't need a seba, why couldn't one be mevarach for the rest when it came to the guests in the outer room? That's how they're learning the pshat in these words. Zos omeres shenachlokim beperos. So what we're saying is, the taiches nachlokim means that we all have to go and make the brachos individually when it, even though all we're eating is peros, which is like the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Other people will have a whole different way of learning this, and I'm not going to go into that. We don't have time today. Okay, next. Now, it said if they brought in wine during the meal, everybody makes a bracha for themselves. Why is that? Why do you have to make the bracha? Why is that? Because you have food in your mouth, and you might choke if you say on me. Okay? Now, there's a big yisod here on the bottom, which I feel is very important to know. In footnote 9, it says, in truth, Shomea Ko'ene is your yotzei the bracha. This is very important to know this din. Shomea Ko'ene, your yotzei the bracha, even if you don't say Amen, just by hearing it. It's Shomea Ko'ene alone is enough. The preferred manner is to say Amen, but you can't do that during the meal because you're afraid you might choke. So given the choice, you have a choice. You could either make the bracha yourself, or you could be yotzei with Shomea Ko'ene without answering Amen. So what we did was we preferred that you make it the bracha yourself rather than have them say Amen and possibly choke. Okay, that's the end of that. Samach Tes Amid Beis, Amar Rabbana. So Rabbana said the following, based on this, Hadot Amar, from this we see, obviously, Ahondo Atishka Mechla, if you're going to sneeze when you're doing the meal, Asa Lamein Mulei Yeis, you can't say Gazuntai, you can't say Asuso, but you can say Kata Nanasho, because that would be a Sakono, that you might choke. So you just, people are talking constantly during the meal. You know, it's obviously that would be violating this rule. Next, on a mugbar, you say bracha on a mugbar. How come when it came to mugbar that we said one person can make the bracha and be mighty everybody? And when it came to yain, when it came to wine, we said kolechem mevarach la'atzmai. Why is there that distinction? So the Gemara says mugbar kol merichin. When it comes to mugmar, when they come, the guy comes into the room and he starts burning the incense. Everybody starts smelling the incense all at once. So it's one bracha for everybody. The fact that we all are nana together in the same time is enough of a unifying act, a unifying activity in the smelling that one person can make the bracha. Wine, he's the only one that's immediately tasting the wine. The rule is, as soon as it starts smoking, that's when you make the bracha. In other words, even though you haven't smelt it yet, you want to do it the moment that you see the smoke coming up from the lighting the spice, because it's going to permeate the room in just a second. So this would be like kind of like an oiver lahano also. This would be the right time to do it. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyahu wanted to test Rabbi Zairus to see how big Talmud Chacham he is. So he set up a test and he asked him a question. He said to him, what bracha do you make on this special oil, pleasant oil? He told him, this is the bracha. He said, no, that's not the right bracha. What exactly is the question here between whether it's the Atzei B'Samim or the Shemin Arif? In other words, the question is, are you looking at the oil, the end product, or are you looking at the source of where the basamim, where the nice smell came from? That seems to be the distinction here. Another question, another issue about fragrances. Yitzchak Bar Abba Bar Machasio Bar Panano Habiyas. They were sitting around. Chad Amar Baruch Shnosim Reaktov Ba'atzi Basamim. So there was they were discussing this issue. So fragrance of spices and flowers that grow on hard stalks. So one said, You say the bracha baruch shenasan reyachtov atzei b'som. So you mentioned atzei b'som. The chad amar baruch shenasan reyachtov be'esav ha'aretz. The question, of course, is it eitz or is it esav? How do you look at it? Masiv mandamar be'esav ha'aretz l'mandamar ba'atzei b'som. So the one who said that the bracha is you're supposed to make it on esav asked the one who said it's supposed to be atzei b'som. He ate in him. Are they really wood? I mean, these things are kind of like flimsy. That you know, you could break it with your hand. Is it really wood? It said that she hid them over there, or the mice over there. You're sure, right? Yeah. Where they're hiding them? She hid them in atzei was pishtei ha'etz, and then flax. You know, that's flax that grows on stalks. He ate in him. The pasuk calls it etz. Nonetheless. So you see, it is called eitz in the pasuk. So they heard that Itaka, that was the way they said the bracha. Now, if you're using oil, which is it's like a deodorant, so to speak, to remove unpleasant odors, in a tzarkal bracha, you don't have to make a bracha, because the only time you make a bracha is when you're doing it so that you can smell the object itself. But where you are just trying to get rid of a bad smell, like an air freshener, that's not, you don't make a bracha. I mean, you don't feel covered, even if the oil has pulled in your hand, you also don't make a bracha. If you sprinkle alintis, which is a water which has a nice smell in it, say, no, Charles, you don't have to make a bracha on that either, though you smell it. Or Chaim in his parish says, because when you sprinkle it on the ground, it gets absorbed into the ground. And once it gets absorbed in the ground, it's not bad. You don't make a bracha on it anymore. I'm Rav Chista al Kulon Hoimer, Asher Nasan Reach Tov Ba'atzei B'Somim, Bar Minahon Muskin. You make a bracha always, Atzei B'Somim bracha, except for musk. The Yemer Asher Nasan Reach Tov Ba'minei B'Somim. There, because musk is not made out of something which grows from the ground. It's made either from Galole Behema, or it's made from extract from the neck of a, what do you call it? What do they say? 25. It's an animal derivative. It's
deer, I think.
Some deer, I think, right? It says, in 24, it says, musk is extract from the neck of a musk deer native to India. I don't know how they do that, but others explain it's from animal excrement. Others say animal perspiration, but whatever it is, you do not make a bracha. You change the bracha. As a result, obviously, it's not atzei b'sonim. It's going to be mina b'sonim. Agutavach. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me tonight.
Thank you.